नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 Withdrawal of the Cosmic Manifestations, Chapter 7, Lord Shiva Saves the Universe, Verse Number 8. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Duranta Virayo Avitha अवित्तताभिसन्धि कृत्वा वपु कच्छपम् अद्भुतम् महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयम् गिरिम् उजहार विलोक्य विघ्नेश विधिं तदेश्वरो दूरंत विरयो अवितताभि संधि कृत्वा वपु कच्छम कच्छपम अद्भुतम महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयम् गिरिम् उजहार विलोक्य विघ्नेश विधिम् तदेश्वरो दुरन्त वीर्यो अवितताभिसन्धि कृत्वा वपु कच्छपम् अद्भुतम् महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयम् गिरिम् उजहार लोक्य विघ्नेश विधिम् तदेश्वर तुरन्त वीर्यो अवितताभिसन्धि कृत्वा वपु कच्छपम् अद्भुतम् महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयम् गिरिम् उज्जहार विलोक्य विघ्नेश विधिम् तदीश्वरो दुरन्त वीर्यो अवितताभिसन्धि त्वा वपु कच्छपम् अद्भुतम् महत् प्रविश्यतोऽयम् गिरिम् उजहार लोक्य विघ्नेश विधिम् तदीश्वरो दुरन्त वीर्यो अवितताभिसन्धि कृत्वा वपु कच्छपम् अद्भुतम् महत् शतोऽयम् गिरिमुजहार लोकविघ्नेश विधिम् तदीश्वर दुरन्त वीर्यो अवितताभिसन्धि कृत्वा वपु कच्छपमद्भुतम् महत् भविष्यतोऽयम् गिरिमुज्जहार माताजी विलोक्य ऑब्जर्विंग विघ्न the obstruction, the sinking of the mountain. Isha Vidhim, by the providential arrangement. Tada, then. Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Duranta Virya, inconceivably powerful. Avita Tatha, infallible. Abhisandhi, whose determination. Kritva, expanding. Vapu, body. Kachapam, tortoise. Adbhutam, wonderful. Mahat, very great. Pravishya, entering. Toyam, the water. Girim, the mountain. Mandara, Ujjahara, lifted. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is evidence that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. As we have previously described, there are two classes of men, the demons and the demigods. But neither of them are supremely powerful. Everyone has experienced that hindrances are imposed upon us by the supreme power. The demons regard these hindrances as mere accidents or chance, but devotees accept them to be acts of the supreme ruler. When faced with hindrances, therefore, devotees pray to the Lord. Tatte anukampam susamikshamano gunjana evatma kritam vipakam. Devotees endure hindrances, accepting them to be caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and regarding them as benedictions. Demons, however, being unable to understand the Supreme Controller, regard such hindrances as accidental. Here, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was present personally. It was by His will that there were hindrances, and by His will those hindrances were removed. The Lord appeared as a tortoise to support the great mountain. Shitir iha vipulatare tavatisthati preshthe. The Lord held the great mountain on His back. Keshavadrita kurma sharira jai jagadishahare. Dangers can be created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they can also be removed by Him. This is known to devotees, but demons cannot understand it. We are done. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 7, Verse number 8. Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water, and lifted the great Mandara mountain. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing the section of Srimad Bhagavatam called Churning of Milk Ocean. This way back starts when the demigods are defeated by the demons. And then the demigods approach Lord Vishnu, who advises them to make a truce and churn the ocean with the help of demons to obtain nectar, amrit, which will help them to be victorious in the war. So then the truce happens and the demons also agree, thinking that once the nectar comes, they will arrange to have the nectar and not give to the demigods. And the demigods also are having planned that once the nectar comes, we will arrange to have the nectar and not give to the demons. Both opposite parties agree to cooperate together so that they can cheat each other. In other words, this is called business. In business, that's what they do. Both the parties agree to cooperate with each other, to deal with each other, thinking that I am cheating that fellow. And that fellow thinks that I am cheating him. When a person goes to buy a product, and the person who is selling the product, he says price X, then this fellow says, oh, X is too much, I'll give X by 2, and 1000 is too much, I'll give you 500. He said, nahin, nahin, sir, 500 mein to kuch nahin milta hai, aapke liye 900. से नहीं 900 नहीं कम से कम 800 करो से आपका नहीं मेरा नहीं 700 एंड दी परचेसेस द प्रोडक्ट फॉर 700 एंड ही थिंक्स लुक आई चीटेड हिम ही टोल्ड 1000 एंड आई गॉट इट इन 700 आई चीटेड हिम फॉर 300 आई एम सच अ गुड नेगोशिएटर एंड दिस पर्सन इज थिंकिंग 200 का माल 700 में चिपका दिया आई एम सच अ ग्रेट सेल्समैन सो बोथ थिंक दैट आई चीटेड हिम बोथ थिंक आई एम स्मार्ट But this whole society is like this, cheaters and cheated. So demons and demigods are also having the same game. This is called diplomacy. Diplomacy means a person speaks to you so much nicely about hell that you plan to go there and he arranges to send you. That's diplomacy. Speaking sweetly to get one benefit done and giving loss to other, giving trouble to other, but the other person doesn't even know. That's diplomacy. Kutinati. And this is an anartha. This is not good. This is not a Brahminical behavior to be diplomatic with others, to be manipulative, to speak sweetly, to manipulate others, to do, to get done what we desire from that person. Who unwillingly contributes to our sense gratification. That's diplomatic manipulation. And we should not do that. A Vaishnava should be straightforward, honest, truthful, not use his good communication skills to try to get things done for his sense enjoyment or harm others. That doesn't satisfy the mind. That doesn't satisfy the soul. The Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he makes a list of the weeds, anarthas in the heart, which have to be eradicated in order for seed of bhakti to grow, he mentions kutinati as one of them, diplomacy as one of them, hinsa as another. So one should not indulge in such behavior. We are not playing a chess game here to somehow use one person to knock up another person and win the board. That's not life. That's not spiritual life. We are not playing a chess game here. We are here as humble Vaishnavas to be servant of servant of servant of Krishna. If we win the chess game, we will lose Krishna. So it is actually a loss. It is not a win. So we should be very careful not to manipulate others, not to abuse others, not to try to use our intelligence over somebody's humility. A humble person may be kind of manipulated by an intelligent, smart, clever, modern person. But that's not our victory. That's our loss. Because we lose Krishna, we lose the mercy. So we should be careful in our dealings, not to be diplomatic, but be straightforward. So here the case was different. This was not Brahminical culture going on. This was a war. And this was advised by Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu advises something, that becomes dharma. What is dharma? The laws given by Lord. So when Lord Vishnu says something, that is dharma. Speaking truth is dharma. Why? Because Lord Vishnu has said. But in war, when he told Yudhishthira Maharaj to speak lies, that was dharma. Initially, Yudhishthira Maharaj hesitated, and that is considered improper. His chariot, which used to go little bit above the ground, fell down on the ground because he hesitated to obey the Lord. The highest dharma is to obey Krishna. There is difference between a good person and a devotee. There is difference. A devotee is definitely a good person, but still there is a difference. And the difference is a good person will not act bad. Will not act bad. A devotee is ready to act bad. Hanuman, a devotee, was sent by Lord Ramchandra to find out Sita Devi in Lanka. So Hanuman went, searched, found out the location, burnt, and then came back. That's a devotee. If a good person had been sent, he would have gone, searched, found out the address, and come back. He would have never burned Lanka because he's a good person. A good person does not burn. So good person and a devotee, the difference is a devotee is ready to do quote unquote bad for Ram, for Krishna. So Hanuman, he quote unquote burnt Lanka, which is a bad activity in moral sense. But that is the difference. This difference is difference of mode of goodness and transcendence. A person in mode of goodness, if he goes to search out Sita Devi in Lanka, he will note down the address and come back. He will not burn. But a transcendental personality not only noted down the address, he destroyed Lanka. So that weapons and army is, some power is reduced before the war. Vasudev at night 12 o'clock took his boy and went to who? His friend's wife's room, bedroom, and exchanged the child and came back. This is good thing to do? No. This is bad thing to do. Vasudeva was a morally very strong person, so strong that when he told comes that I will give you my children, he went and gave the first son. Because he promised. He also promised he will give the eighth son. But when Krishna was born, he broke his promise. He broke his morality. He broke his values. The first point is, he broke his promise to Kams and did not deliver the eighth son. The second point is, he broke the jail. He came out of the jail. A moral person will not do that. The third is, he went to the room of his friend's wife at night, 12 o'clock, as a thief without informing his friend. He didn't go from the main door. He didn't call his friend and say, look, I want to go to your wife's room. He went hidingly. Going to some other's wife's room at night, 12 o'clock? Would any good person do this? Never. Then fourth is, he exchanged babies. That's no good person will do that. That too, why he exchanged? Not because he wanted a girl, because his boy is going to be killed, so let the girl be killed. Let my friend's daughter be killed and my son be protected, so let me exchange babies. Any good person will do that? No. Only bad person will do. Quote unquote bad. That's the difference between mode of goodness and transcendence. That's the difference between good person and devotee. That doesn't mean we start becoming devotee and breaking moral laws and stealing money. No. When Krishna orders, that is dharma. And Krishna orders to Arjuna to fight, to Yudhishthira Maharaj to speak lies, to Vasudeva to do all these immoral activities. When Krishna orders. In general, Krishna has given order to be brahmana, to be honest, to be truthful. But a devotee should be ready to transcend ordinary moral values when required. That is transcendence. So demigods, they were ordered by Vishnu to cheat the demons in this way. So they arranged a truce and finally they are here. Somehow the Mandara mountain has come. Vasuki has come. Vishnu with demigods caught the head and the demon says, we will not catch the tail, we will catch the head. We are strong, demigods are weak, we are high class, demigods are low class, so we will catch head, high class, let demigods catch tail, low class, inauspicious. Vishnu said, okay, which he anyway wanted. So then demons came on the head side of Vasuki, demigods and Vishnu came on the tail side and they started churning. But still it didn't work. Now this churning is happening in the ocean. The demigods and demons both are standing in the ocean, half in water. They don't have support below, but they have that skill. Being higher beings, they have the skill to stand floating in water. That's amazing. We can't do that. We can't stand in water. We require some base. But they can stand in water. So they were in till waist in water. Below feet, nothing, only water. Comfortable. But Mandara Mountain didn't have that skill. So Mandara Mountain couldn't stand inside water. It fell down. It went down. The demigods and demons with the help of Vasuki are carrying the Mandara Mountain up and churning also. The two things they have to do. They have to churn also and they have to stabilize also. They can stabilize themselves, but they are not able to stabilize Mandara Mountain. It is again and again going down. And they all become frustrated and leave the game. So that's not possible. And then Lord Vishnu, who is Achyuta, who is infallible, who is always successful, whose determination is always successful, whose determination never fails, who does not commit mistake, who can fulfill all his desires without any assistance. Krishna tells Arjuna, "My dear Achyuta, please take my chariot in between the two armies." He uses the name Achyut to tell he is infallible. He commits no mistakes. So that personality whose determination never fails, he takes Kurma Roop. He takes the avatar, the incarnation. He expands into Kurma Sharir, Kurma Roop, tortoise form, and goes below the Mandara Mountain to keep it stable. That's Kurma Avatar. One of the popular in the list of Dasha Avatar, Kurma Avatar. Krishna taking avatar, Krishna expanding in the form of tortoise is only to encourage all the living species, all the species of the world. Krishna comes in all forms. But even in Kurma form or Vara form or Narsinga form, he is full of six opulences, including beauty. Kurma Roop is also equally beautiful. Vara Roop also is equally beautiful. It is atheistic mentality to think that Kurma Roop, Vara Roop, Matsya Roop is not beautiful. Only human form is beautiful. Human-like form is beautiful. No, that's wrong. Krishna is infinitely beautiful. And that infinite beauty of Krishna is present not just in Shyam Sundar form, that's present in all the infinite forms. Sorry. So the Kurma Roop is also beautiful. The Vara Roop is also beautiful. And there are different individual devotees who get attracted to different forms of the Lord. And they find that form most beautiful for their eyes. And they surrender, worship and associate with such forms. Like Hanuman finds Lord Ramchandra most attractive. Prahlad Maharaj finds Lord Narsingha Dev most attractive. Mother Devuti finds Kapil Muni most attractive. Lakshmi finds Lord Narayan's form most attractive. Brajavasis find Krishna Shyam Sundar form most attractive. So in the same way, in the Hiranyavarsha, which is near Jambudvip, there is Kurma Avatha residing. And Aryama, who is the leader of the devotees there, he finds Kurma Avatha most attractive, most beautiful, and he offers his worship to him. So an individual devotee may have a unique attraction to a separate form of the Lord. And that's fine. We should not differentiate, discriminate between two forms of the Lord or between devotees who are having attraction to different forms of the Lord. There was in Chaitanya Leela Murari Gupta, and he was attracted to Lord Ram, Lord Ramchandra, and he would chant the holy name of Lord Ram, worship Lord Ram, and he was also associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached to him that why do you chant the name of Ram? You chant the name of Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful. Krishna's pastimes are so attractive. So from every day you chant the holy name of Ram. You chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Murari Gupta said, okay, whatever you say I will do. So next day morning Murari Gupta, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had not slept whole night. He was having tears in his eyes. So he said, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want your permission. He said, what permission? I want to commit suicide. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why? He said, you told me to chant the holy name of Krishna, and I cannot disobey you. But I have given my heart to Lord Ram. I cannot take it back. So the only solution is I commit suicide. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you don't have to commit suicide. You are bona fide Ram Bhakta. And he put a stamp on his forehead, Ram Bhakta, great devotee of Lord Ram. Just continue to serve Lord Ram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he initially tried to make him Krishna Bhakta from Ram Bhakta, but that was just to test him. Actually, that was just to show his glories to everybody in the world. So it's fine. Somebody gets attracted to a particular form of the Lord. We should not discriminate in that way. We should not criticize or tease such a devotee. Every individual soul has a particular relationship with Krishna in a particular form. Neutrally speaking, Shyam Sundar is the origin of all Vishnu Tattvas. So when we preach, when we talk about Shyam Sundar. And Madhurya Ras, conjugal relationship, neutrally speaking, is considered highest. So we explain it in that way. But if some individual soul who has his own rasa, shanta, dasya, sakya, vatsalya, to one particular form of the Lord, we don't have to try to push to change that attraction. Hanuman not thinking, when will I become Madhurya Ras, Sita Devi type? When will I get promotion to become conjugal sakhi of Lord Ram? No, not like that. There is no desire of promotion in the spiritual world from one rasa to another rasa, from one form to another form. There is no such desire. So in general, devotees are pleased, satisfied with whatever worship they are doing, whatever rasa they have, whatever form they are attracted to. That gives them complete pleasure. That is variety in the spiritual world. So Kurma Avatar, there are devotees who worship him, who serve him, and there is no discrimination. We should not discriminate. He is as beautiful. And Lord Kurma is the one who actually, the Lord Vishnu is the one who actually churned the ocean and who actually gave the nectar to the demigods. The demigods and the demons were apparent causes of the churning and producing nectar, but as we see in the pastime, it was Vishnu actually who was churning. It was Vishnu who, as Mohini Avatar, cheated the demons and gave nectar to the demigods. So at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami gives a very nice comparison that just as Lord Kurma, he went on the base of the Mandara mountain and the rough edges of the mountain were scratching his back, his itch was getting relieved. The Lord was feeling itchy and that itch was getting relieved. In the same way, as the itch was getting relieved, the Lord was feeling sleepy. Nice massage was happening, so he was feeling sleepy. And when the Lord actually slept below the mountain, his breathing became little heavy. And that air, that breathing in, out, which was happening, from there in, out breathing, the ocean started having tides in, out. Even now oceans have tides in, out. And we say this is because of time and moon, but they are only apparent cause. The actual cause is the breathing of Kurma Avatar. So in the same way, our each of sense gratification or mental speculation will get erased when we come in contact with the breathing of Kurma Avatar in the form of nice Srimad Bhagavatam Katha. That benediction Sutta Goswami gives. He said, just as Kurma Avatar churned the ocean, cheated the demons and gave nectar to the demigods, in the same way Lord Krishna has churned the Vedas and given the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam nectar is available to devotees. Demons and atheists, they can't get this nectar. There are Mayavadis who read Vedanta Sutra. But the same author who has written Vedanta Sutra, after Vedanta Sutra has written Bhagavatam to explain Vedanta Sutra. But Mayavadis don't read Bhagavatam. They read Vedanta Sutra. Author is same. And if an author writes a book, and to explain that book, he writes the next book. So if you are interested in the first book, you should be interested in the second book, because the same author is explaining his book. But Mayavadi is not interested in Bhagavatam, they are interested in Vedanta Sutra. That's how they are cheated. They don't get the nectar. They don't even read Vedanta Sutra. They read Shankaracharya's Bhashya on Vedanta Sutra, Sharirik Bhashya, and follow impersonal path. So atheists are cheated, they don't get nectar. But those who are humble and submissive, thoroughly honest, satam, those who give submissive oral reception to the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, they can release Srimad Bhagavatam. They can release the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. They can see Krishna on every page of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that nectar is available to all the devotees. So when the Mandara mountain was not being stabilized, the demons thought that this hindrance is by chance, some accidental reason. But the demigods understood this hindrance is given by Krishna. This is another difference between demigods and demons. When some obstacles come in life, demigods understand it's Krishna's mercy. But demons think by chance it is happening. I will solve it by my skills, by my wealth, by my talent, by my contacts, by my strategy, by my idea. It's natural. But the demigods understand that Krishna is supremely powerful. Krishna is supreme controller. Without his sanction, not even a blade of grass moves. So whatever happening in my life, whatever happening around me, is by the will of Krishna. Some people think God exists. He created this world, but now he is no longer into control. things are automatically happening. That's not true. Krishna is full in control even now, every moment. Supreme controller. We are not controllers. People think I am the controller. Because of my control, things are happening. If I say left, people go left. If I say right, people go right. But what kind of controllers we are? We can't even control our own body. If there's a pressure to go to washroom, we have to rush. We can't control it. We can't control our passing of urine and stool. And we think, I am controller of this world. That's too much to think. We don't even know how does our body work. We don't even know how does our nail grow. Our nails are living or dead. Who will tell this? They are living or dead? Huh? Dead? Can dead things grow? Very confusing. Nobody knows. We don't even know how our nails operate, how our hair operate, how digestion takes place. We don't have control over our body and we think I have control over the universe. So we are not controllers. So there is somebody powerful who is making things happen. There is somebody who is controlling me. There is somebody who is controlling air, our sun, wind, fire, earth, moon, stars. There's some controller. Because things are not happening as per my desire, that means somebody above me is there who is doing things. So that supreme controller is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidanand Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the ultimate cause of everything. He is supreme controller. He is supreme creator. He is supreme master, supreme proprietor, supreme enjoyer. Independent Swarat. I am dependent, tiny living entity. So for my own welfare, Krishna gives hindrances. Krishna gives obstacles in life. And we should accept them, tolerate them, and serve Krishna. Lord Brahma says, one who tolerates his pain and continues to pay obeisances, he inherits the kingdom of God, Daya Bhav. Just as a son inherits the property of his father after the death of his father, son doesn't have to do anything, he'll automatically inherit. Father dies, he got it. Simple. So in the same way, the devotee dies, he goes back to God. Simple. When he tolerates. When he tolerates the pain in his life and continues to serve Krishna. Tolerance is the key. We always discuss, humility is the first step of spiritual advancement. You heard this? What is the second step? Tolerance. We have to tolerate. By tolerating, we very rapidly grow in spiritual life. Trinadapi suni chena, taror eva shahi suna. Tolerate like a tree. A tree is, the branches are cut and the tree does not protest. You throw a stone, the tree gives fruit. Winter, summer, monsoon, the tree just tolerates. So we should tolerate like a tree. Tolerate our pain. Why tolerate? Because we know this pain is because of me. When we take responsibility of our pain, it is easy to tolerate. When we give blame to others for our pain, it is difficult to tolerate. If I get pain, I think because of person A, B, C, I got pain, I will get angry. I would like to take revenge or seek a clarification. And it is difficult to tolerate. But if I get pain and I think this is because of my past karma I am getting pain, it will be very easy to tolerate. So we should take responsibility of our pain. This pain is mine and I should tolerate it. Just like if in the house a young boy is playing with a ball and he breaks a very costly, valuable glass piece. What will mother do? Give him a gift? No, she will chastise, she will scold, she will shout, said, "You rascal, how many times I told you not to play ball inside the room, play outside the building." And then she have to clean it, she will clean the glass and throw it. Suppose next day mother is doing some cleaning work and a similar piece breaks. What will she do? Be quiet, silent, clean it and throw it. She will not chastise, scold. Because nobody chastises self. Nobody punishes self. So in the first case, the loss was because of some outside party. So she didn't tolerate, she chastised. In the second case, the loss is because of me. So she easily tolerated. So tolerance is easy when we understand the pain I am experiencing is because of me, because of my previous karma. Because of my previous karma, I am supposed to get more pain, but Krishna is so merciful, He has given just less. He has given just token pain. And for that, my dear Lord, I am grateful to You. Thank You very much. And he pays obeisances to Krishna with his body, mind and words. He continues to serve Krishna. So such a person very easily achieves Vaikuntha, the kingdom of God. So we should understand that whatever distress, miseries come to us, they are our own karma. They are given by Krishna. As a result of our karma, they are Krishna's mercy and they come to us to make us grow in spiritual life. It is a very wrong education which we have from childhood that every problem has to be solved. No, problems come to make us grow in life and we need to face the challenges. Like they say, the gold, when it is in fire, burning, then becomes more pure and more shining. So when problems come to our life, we become more pure. We depend on Krishna. Great devotees in Bhagavatam we have seen, all have big, big challenges in life. Prahlad Maharaj, Durva Maharaj, Draupadi, Rajendra. And with those challenges, they depended on Krishna. They took shelter of Krishna. That is their greatness. What happened to them is Krishna's response. That's not their greatness. But how they responded to the challenge by depending on Krishna, that's why they are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So when challenges happen in life, we should not become negative. We should not become angry or become frustrated. Or lose our faith. That why Krishna is doing this to me. I am doing Mangalarti daily, chanting 16 rounds, reading books, following 4 regulative principles, doing seva. Why mosquitoes are biting me? They should not bite me. I am doing so much for Krishna. He can't tell one mosquito not to bite me. This is too much. So we should not think in that way. We perform our bhakti and because we have come in this dukhalayam, in this material world, by our own free will, misuse of free will, certain experiences, certain bitter experiences will happen. They happen to purify us. They happen to make us shining. They happen so that our karma is vanished. So we tolerate them. tolerance is in mode of goodness. And when we tolerate, when we exhibit a quality in mode of goodness, that's brahmanical. When we cut a branch of a tree, the tree tolerates. And at the same time, a new branch grows there. So tolerance should give growth. If tolerance does not give growth, then that is wrong. Our goal is not to tolerate, our goal is to grow in spiritual life. So if by tolerating a particular situation in life, my intensity of dependence on Krishna is increasing, that tolerance is fine. But if by tolerating a situation, my routine devotional service is affected, my intensity of dependence is decreasing instead of increasing, that means we have to do something about it. So it is individual of what circumstances we are tolerating and what effect it is giving. If tolerance is not giving spiritual growth, then that tolerance is cowardice. Sometimes there are relationships where abuses happen, violence happen, and the victim tolerates thinking, oh, what can I do? But such violence and abuses don't give growth in life. So that tolerance is not good. When the victim tolerates the perpetrator, he does it more. He gets more strong. But if you don't tolerate but protest, then he will not do it again. Or he will think twice before doing it. But if you are silent, he gets more access and victimizes more. So that which does not give growth, that doesn't have to be tolerated. We tolerate situations which give spiritual growth. If after some time I see some mud in the temple hall, some devotee sees mud in the temple hall and he says, oh, such a nice lecture on tolerance, I tolerate this mud. So that's not mode of goodness. Because uncleanliness is mode of ignorance. Tolerating uncleanliness is mode of ignorance. Cleanliness is mode of goodness. So we have to clean the place, not tolerate the dirt. So tolerance should give us spiritual growth. So when there is personal pain, personal insult, personal misery, we tolerate. But when there is insult to Krishna, devotees, or his paraphernalia, we don't tolerate. We do our duty of defending, protecting, taking care, maintaining. That's our duty. That's the job of a servant. A servant should perform his service of serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord. So when we tolerate our miseries, tolerate our pain, take responsibility of pain, and continue to perform bhakti, then we grow in Krishna consciousness, we achieve the kingdom of God, we achieve liberation. So devotees or demigods, when obstacles come to them, they see it as Krishna's mercy. And demons, they don't understand, they become frustrated. They don't know what to do. But devotees understand the obstacles are given by Krishna and he will remove it also. When he gives it, we grow in spiritual life. When he removes it, we grow in spiritual life. Many things happen in our life which give us pain, but we grow by that, and then they exit our life and we again grow by their exits. That's how growth happens even bodily. Like when small birds come out of the egg, they have to put lots of hard effort to break the egg. They put lots of hard work to break the egg. Then they come out. So one boy, he was seeing a bird putting lots of effort to break the egg. So he think, why to do so much effort? He went and broke the egg himself. And the tiny bird come out. But the bird couldn't fly whole life. Because the whole mechanism is when they put lots of effort to break the egg, the fluid of the body enters the wings and the wings become strong, and when the egg gets broken, they come out with strong wings and they fly. But if somebody else breaks the egg, they don't put effort in breaking the egg, the bodily fluid doesn't go into the wing and the wings don't become strong, so when they take birth, they can't fly. So the boy who wanted to help the bird, not to do hard work, not to take so much pain, actually damaged. So some pain is required for us to go forward. Whatever step we are in to take the next step in spiritual life, some pain is required. No gain without pain. Some pain is required to go to the next life, next state, next advanced state. So we should not be afraid of pain. We should not think there should be no problems in life. No problem if there is a problem. We should face the challenge, whatever it comes, in mode of goodness, so that we grow in spiritual life. So demigods, demons, both are in the same situation, but demigods know Vishnu has given this problem, he will solve it also. And in such an unusual, such a wonderful way, Lord Vishnu solved this problem by becoming Kurma Roop, Kurma Sharira. In Dashavatar Shloka, one of the verses about Kurma Avatar, we will recite this verse and end the class. Can you please turn the board? Where is Radhika Kanai Prabhu? Not here. So is this visible? Okay, so this is part of Dashavatar Stotra by Jayadeva Goswami, where he glorifies Kurma Avatar. This verse goes like Tavakara Kamala, Narsingha Arthi type. So we'll chant this. Shitir iha vipulatare tisthati tava preshthe Dharani dharana kina chakra gariste Keshavadrita kurma sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare. Bajao gao. So we all can try to chant. Shitir iha vipulatare tisthati tava preshthe Dharani dharana kina chakra garishthe Keshavadrita kurma sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare. Please repeat. Vipulatare tisthati tava prishte Sanidharana kina chakra garishte Badrita kurma sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare. Okay, we'll do one more. Shitir iha vipulatare tisthati tava prishthe Dharani dharana kina chakra garishthe Keshavadrita kurma sharira Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare. Tishtati Tava Prishthe Nidharana Kina Chakra Garishthe Keshava Drita Kurma Sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jagadish Hare. One more. Shithir iha vipula tare tisthati tava prishthe Dharani dharana kina chakra gariste Keshava drita kurma sharira Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare. Dharani dharana kina chakra gariste Keshava drita kurma shari Jagadish Hare Jagadish Hare Jai Jagadish Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. If there are any questions or comments, yes, we have a mic.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Muji, for a wonderful class.
Yes,
thank you for a lot of lessons you gave from this past time. Puji, one thing you were mentioning that how all incarnations, Vishnu avatars, are all have six opulence, that is there. But we see, Puji, like Krishna is beautiful, and we have heard that Krishna has some four extra qualities which are not there in other Vishnu tattvas. So how we can say, Puji, like how we can reconcile that everyone is like beautiful like Krishna only, equivalent, because Krishna has this four extra qualities, Puji.
Yeah, so generally the word equal we understand is left hand side equal to right hand side when both are measurable. When both are not measurable, still they can be equal. We don't understand this. Like if I say 5 is equal to 3 plus 2 because both the sides are measurable. But if I say 1 infinity is equal to 2 infinity, you getting me? If I do a measurement which is not possible, I'll find it's not equal. But actually it's equal. Because both are unlimited. So when we say Krishna's all tattvas are equal, that is because one is infinite, another is infinity, another is infinity, another is infinity, the next one may be double infinity, the next one may be 10 times more infinity, but they all are equal. We can't differentiate between them. Right? So we don't compare as if something is measurable. This beauty or strength, these are not measurable items in units. Right? Neutrally speaking, anybody who has love for a particular form, he'll think this is most beautiful. Like Jew devotees say, Radha has been most beautiful in the world. Everybody agrees? See? Vrindavan devotees say, Shyam Sundar is most beautiful in the world. Right? Mirror will say Gridhar is most beautiful in the world. And Chopai devotee will say Gopinath is most beautiful in the world. Who is right, who is wrong? How can there be two most beautiful? Yes. But that is. We say Lord Shiva is greatest devotee. Another lecture, Narad Muni is the greatest devotee. Another lecture, Prabhupada is the greatest devotee. Who is greatest devotee? Who is right, who is wrong? These are not measurable items. Right? So you are true. There are Rupa Madhurya is one quality of Krishna. He is extremely beautiful. So when we say somebody else is extremely beautiful, we are not denying this beauty. That they all are beautiful. It's all positive. Okay? Any more questions? Yeah. Yeah, carry on.
Puji, not with this class, but previous some slokas come that mentioned, Puji, that how Bali Maharaj was also also have this this intention of cheating demigods to have a truce, and then because they are weak and we are strong now, we will defeat them and take the snatch the nectar. So we like in, later on will when the past time continue, we see how Bali Maharaj become a Mahajan devotee. So how we can reconcile that, although he is a pure devotee and Mahajan, and now he is acting in such a way like demonic, born in a family, and although he is acting like a demon, so how we can reconcile that?
So he is performing his duty. If a pure devotee has a social duty to perform, he will execute the social duty. So he is performing his duty as the king of the demons. For example,
taking others' property, snatching others' property.
Yes, yes. Because that's the duty as a king of a demon. For example, if a pure devotee is on the border, will he shoot? For what? For Krishna's pleasure? No, no. Shooting somebody just because somebody has created a boundary between two countries, is Krishna pleased by that? Okay, if there's dharam youth, Krishna wants his kshatriya devotees to participate. But there is one country, somebody come and put a border, India, Pakistan, and a pure devotee here and a pure devotee here, they became Indian citizen, Pakistan citizen. Earlier they were having nice association, and both are soldiers, and now they are here in the border, pointing gun to each other. Where, that's Vaishnavism? That's not Vaishnavism, it's not dharma yuddha, but a social duty. Prahlad Maharaj is king of demons. So he has to think about the welfare of the demons. Bali Maharaj is also king of demons. So he has to think about welfare of demons. So he is acting in this way. So when pure devotees come in the material world, they take up some social duty. They perform their social duty. They have to perform their social. Prabhupada doing business, he would add some profit or not. So we would go into justification whether this much profit is okay. He could have taken less profit. He could have taken more, he could have given this donation to Gaudiya Math. Why he gave only 1,000? He could have given 2,000. He's a pure devotee. He would have given all money to, whole salary to Gaudiya Math. Why he gave less? We can't just go into this consideration because there is some social duty. He performs social duty. Prabhupada went, opened a shop. We say, he's a pure devotee. Why he opened the shop? He should have gone to the local temple and just perform kirtan there. But he has a social duty. He's a grihastha. He has a family. So many things are there. So as a social duty, they may perform something which as per the laws of devotional service may not be appropriate. When a kshatriya fights, we have to use the laws of kshatriya. The kshatriya can hunt. Right? Pandavas were pure devotees, they were hunting. But now if a brahmachari goes and hunting and killing, no, no, not allowed. But a kshatriya can hunt. So the social duty gives a different law, which may not match with the law of pure devotional service. So when they have to perform their social duty, they are obliged to perform. So many pure devotees would pay obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. Is that okay? Better to get killed, na? Why to pay obeisances to Hiranyakashipu? Right? But they would do because that was their duty at that time. Okay? So we should not compare a pure devotee's devotional service and certain social duty. Especially, not all, cases like Bali Maharaj and all, who are kings of demons, they have to do welfare for the demons. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you said that Vedant Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam, all these are created by Lord.
Yeah.
And Srimad Bhagavatam is the source, nectar and sar of all the Vedas.
Yes.
Then my question is, why God has created so many things means that leads to confusions to the human being? Means he sometimes thinks whether to follow that Vedanta Sutra or whether to follow Srimad Bhagavatam. Means why is it not so that like in Muslim religion there is only one Quran, so all the people follow Quran. Like in Christianity, all people follow Bible. Why is it not so in our religion?
So you are saying followers of Quran have no confusion?
But
there is a big fight going on. Right?
But,
so Krishna gives all the different instructions in the Vedas to fulfill all kinds of desires. There are some people who are in mode of ignorance, some people mode of passion, some people mode of goodness. They have different desires. So those desires have to be fulfilled. Somebody has desire to eat flesh. Somebody has desire for liberation. These two are different desires. Both desires have to be fulfilled dharmically. So one who has desire of eating flesh, the Vedas tell, on the day of Amavasya, a small animal, you cut yourself in front of Mother Kali and then have prasad. And those who want to eat paneer, so you cook, offer to Vishnu and have prasad. Both desires fulfilled. Vishnu doesn't eat flesh. Kali eats paneer, no problem. So it's like that. Different desires. There are 84 lakh species. Out of that, 4 lakh are human. 4 lakh different consciousness is there. So to fulfill their desires, lots of big shopping mall is required. So Krishna has given a big shopping mall. Whole Vedas he has given for everybody to fulfill their desire. Somebody wants good health, somebody wants good scholarship, somebody wants beautiful body, somebody wants good husband, good wife, good wealth. So there are different ways and counters to fulfill them. So Vedas are dealing with all these desires. And those who want pure devotional service, Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with it. So we are comprehensive. Right? More knowledge is there. If you are a small child, you will have only one subject. But once you go in college, same subject will be divided into 20 parts. Right? Earlier it will be just electronics. Then it will be divided into microprocessor, computers, ICs, and so many things. Right? Or earlier it will be mathematics. Then as you grow up, it will be divided into algebra, geometry. And further you grow up, it will be divided into Mathematics 1, Mathematics 2, Mathematics 3, Mathematics 4, Calculus, Trigonometry. So when you start slow, it's only one, Quran, Bible. When you grow up, it's divided into 18 Puranas, 108 Upanishads. So more is there. So this is higher studies. Okay? Yes, from Sri Gopal.
Hare
Krishna.
Name says death. So death is not growth. So how can I understand that?
What?
Nails, nakhun.
Huh.
Death.
Nail is dead.
Death.
Huh.
So how can understand death is not growth?
You are saying nail is death.
Yeah, you said
no. I didn't say nail is dead. I asked.
So what is the answer?
No answer. Nail exhibits both symptoms, living and death. By growing, it exhibits the symptom of living. When you cut, there is no pain. It exhibits the symptom of death.
Both.
So nail is both. Or none. Everything cannot be understood. Okay? Okay. Any more questions? Yeah, behind Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you mentioned about humility and tolerance, and you said that we should not tolerate those situations you know, which demand our attention and we need to fix it, if they are not helping us to advance in our spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And tolerate those situations that help us to grow spiritually. But most of the time when we are in a particular problem, we don't see them like that. We tend to fix it and then and say that, you know, because it will help me grow spiritually, so let me fix it. And later on in our lives we realize that it was my mind who was overpowering the things, and so many lessons are unlearned because of that. So how do we understand that this is needs attention or correction from my side, or it is Krishna's interference and I have to tolerate?
Okay, so the first step is we should come out of problem solving mode. We are always in problem solving mode. If a problem comes, it has to be solved. That's the only response we have in life. So we should come out of this response. Life is not whole day problem solving. So when the problem comes, we should be very cool enough to face the problem, face the challenge and see if it is not affecting my health, if it is not affecting my finance, if it is not affecting my sadhana, if it is not affecting my seva, if it is not affecting my duties in relationships, then why to worry? It's not a problem. It is only mind playing a game. Right? If somebody comes and spits on my car, is it a problem to be solved? Or is it to be tolerated? Is it affecting my health? Is it affecting my sadhana? Is it affecting my seva? Is it affecting my finance? Is it affecting my this? So okay, just leave it. You're getting my point? Somebody comes and calls me, you are fat. Or in train I go, people say, takla takla aya. Panditji, takla. So should I solve this problem? Should I complain to RPF, they are calling me takla? No, I should just tolerate it. Right? So, we should come out of this problem solving mode. We should understand whatever is being experienced, if it is not affecting my basic, as I said, health, finance, relationships, sadhana, seva, if it's not affecting it, don't worry about it. Just leave it. Because we are attached, our mind is having designations, upadhis, we are attached to ABC, so many things, so we get affected. If you are attached to Krishna, we will get less affected. And mind will burn for some time, then mind will cool off. When mind knows that we are not responding to it, mind will cool off. Like children cry. Every cry doesn't have to be attended. Some cries have to be neglected. Then the children will say, koi sun nahi raha, chup ho jao. So mind is like that. Every time you address the concern of the mind, mind is going to be very naughty. But if you neglect the mind, mind will cool off. Right? So we should sometimes neglect also. If still there is a confusion, we can seek help. We can talk to some seniors. Okay? Hare Krishna. Any more questions? We'll end here. Oh. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, one basic fundamental issue which I think it's maybe there in the mind of every human being, very ordinary people like me. See, Krishna is supreme being. So why does he create demons, gods, demigods, human beings? So why all this creation at all when ultimately there is one energy and everything will go back to the same energy? Why all this fun of this whole creation, and what is the purpose does Krishna achieve by this?
So the purpose Krishna creates this world is to give us living entities a chance to rectify and go back home, back to Godhead. Just like why does the government, when it creates cities, will also allot a place for jail? If a new city has to be developed, will the government keep a place for jail, prison house? Yes. Why? Does the government want somebody to go there? No, but the government knows there will be some people who will not follow the laws and they will have to be put in prison. If they are not put in prison, those who don't follow the laws, then they'll disturb other citizens who are good enough following the laws. So Krishna created his jail for those living entities who don't follow his laws, who don't cooperate with him. So they come here, they get rectified, and they go back and become good citizens. So this jail has lots of varieties because of various different types of desires living entity have, conditioned souls have. So that's why we see the varieties, and the existence is for our rectification. That's one very basic answer. Okay? Any more questions? We'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.